Greetings, everybody. This is David Avocado Wolf. If you're listening right now, the recording that you're about to hear came literally moments before the announcement that the easement was denied across the Missouri River. The Dakota Access Pipeline has been stopped, at least for the moment. The Obama administration and other aspects of the federal government stepped in and agreed that rerouting possibilities need to be looked at. The safety and environmental assessment was not strong enough, and it's going to be reviewed. This is a victory for us. This is actually the first time that we've ever all gotten together as Americans and Native Americans and beat the big banks and beat the oil companies. Now they're going to come back. They're going to try every scam in the book. They're going to try every little trick in the book. These are dirty operations. All the recommendations you're going to hear me say in this interview, I still stand behind them, but we still need to stay vigilant. Oil catastrophes, oil spills, and disasters in the United States of America occur every month, and it's got to be stopped. It can be done safer, or we can just do the right thing, which is switch to solar and wind and put our $3.75 billion into that. This has been such an incredible last 24 hours since the announcement. I've literally been talking to people all over the world. I've almost lost my voice. Enjoy the interview and take heed of what's being said. I'm just back from Standing Rock, and we are in great solidarity with the Native Americans and very, very happy that we won this battle, but the war goes on.
All right. Welcome, everyone. This is your host, Lucian Gauthier. We are here with David Avocado Wolf, fresh off the front lines at Standing Rock, where there is massive protest and people standing up for water rights, the rights for our planet. David, you just returned back this morning. Give us the latest news.
This is a powerful experience all the way around, and it just kept getting more and more intense as we got closer and closer. I grew up on the Missouri River, and this is about the Missouri River and the areas that are being threatened by pipelines. And when we're done with this conversation, if you're listening closely, you're going to be shocked by what I'm going to tell you. I was shocked by what I found out researching this whole Standing Rock protection movement. This is so alarming, actually, that I know that immediately as soon as you hear this, you're going to want to help. And we all need to help, and we all need to join together, because we've got some leverage now to change our world and to find out the truth about what's been going on all along. All our lives, this has been going on. Wait till you hear what I got to tell you. So the thing that brought me up there is I'm a water protector. I'm a spring water hunter. I'm very concerned about groundwater quality. I'm deeply concerned about fracking. I'm absolutely concerned about what's going on with our rivers in North America. The pollution is unbelievable. The cancer rates are at an all-time high. America is the most unhealthy country in the world, number one in cancer. The list goes on and on. And it has to do with greed and corruption. And what had happened was is that there's an oil field in the Northwest Dakotas called the Bakken oil fields, which is a crude oil. It's like a sweet oil, which means it's volatile. It's explosive. And they want to take that oil and ship it down to the Gulf of Mexico and put it on the world market. So what they tell you is, oh, this is American oil. It's going to be for America. It's good for America. Well, it's not for America. That's why we have a pipeline to get it out of America, to get it to the refineries in the Gulf of Mexico, and to get it out to China and other places in the world market. This oil pipeline was supposed to go through Bismarck, North Dakota, but Bismarck rejected it. They don't want an oil pipeline. And the reason why they don't want an oil pipeline is because oil pipelines are extremely dangerous. And this is the story that needs to be told. Every month in this country, our entire lives that we've ever lived in this country, I've been here 46 years, I was born here, every single month there has been an oil pipeline explosion, a chemical pipeline disaster, an ammonia pipeline leak. The stories are absolutely crazy. If you go onto Wikipedia and you punch up list of pipeline disasters in the 21st century in North America, watch what comes up. Again, go to Wikipedia, list of pipeline accidents in the United States in the 21st century. That's just since 2000, just the last 16 years. You will not believe what you're seeing. It's the most crazy thing of all time. Now, we were going up there to meet with people who've been victims of oil pipeline disasters, and they know what's coming with Standing Rock. They know what's going to come in the situation. I'm going to explain the situation in a second. So they're there to protect because they know what's going to happen. Basically, North Dakota and Bismarck said no, So the pipeline rerouted south, and they cut through what's called unceded treaty lands. Now, if you know anything about the Native Americans, and especially the Lakota Sioux tribe, they've been jacked around, lied to, moved around, beaten up, thrown around by the U.S. government forever. It's been going on since the beginning of this country's history. They were ripped off. And let me tell you exactly how it went down. There's been conflicts between the Lakota and Sioux and the U.S. government from the beginning. These kind of came to a head in the middle of the 19th century, about 1850, eventually led to the Fort Laramie Treaty of 1851 and another Fort Laramie Treaty of 1868, which gave the Sioux Nation its own territory. To the letter of that agreement, that territory went up to the Heart River, which is up near Bismarck. And included the Missouri River and areas south of that and west of that. In 1875, and I believe the date was March 16th, 1875, by executive order, the President of the United States said, "You know what? We're taking back some of this land over here, and we're going to push you guys back to the Cannonball River." So they changed. So basically, unilaterally, without the consent of the Native Americans, in violation of the two treaties, the U.S. government said, "No, we're taking this land back between the Heart River and the Cannonball River, west of the Missouri River." And so they changed the deal on them without any approval, without any negotiation, anything. They just said, "We're changing the deal on you." Then in 1877, the U.S. Congress changed the deal again. And took back the Black Hills region and a whole other area of unceded treaty land and said, "This is ours." So the U.S. Congress unilaterally said, "We're taking it back." This was never agreed to by any Native Americans. It was never negotiated. It was a complete ripoff. The Sioux Nation sued the U.S. government, has repeatedly sued the U.S. government, and won. The Sioux Nation actually in 1980 won a judgment for theft of their land by the U.S. government and won $105 million, refused the money and said, "We want the land. We don't want the money. We want the land." The U.S. government refused to give up the land. So this is the thing about the land, because you're going to read all different kinds of things on the internet that says one thing and another thing. People haven't even read. I read the treaties. I went through it all. I've gone through it all. I think this is the core of the legal issue on the land. The pipeline goes through this unceded treaty land that's been in dispute between the Native Americans and the U.S. government since 1875, when the president said, "Well, we're just taking it back," and illegally. So this pipeline runs through that land just right to the north of the uncontested boundary of the Sioux Nation, the Standing Rock Reservation, right north of the Cannonball River. And then it's going to go under the Missouri River and then on basically to the southeast, till it gets to a terminal in Illinois where it will be connected to another pipeline, and then that crude oil is going to be heading down to the Gulf of Mexico.
Dave, there's been some talk about the Missouri River already experiencing contamination. Is there any possibility of verifying that that's true to the state?
We don't know if the Missouri River has been contaminated by this project, because this project has been halted before any digging under the Missouri River is going to happen. That's the thing that's happening right now. The courts have said, "No, stop." And they've stopped the Dakota Access Pipeline. That's the name of the pipeline that's going from the Balkan region all the way to the terminal in Illinois. They've stopped it and said, "No, stop." Because that spot right there where they're going to go under the Missouri River, there's not a real satisfactory environmental assessment. Three federal agencies are in agreement with the Sioux Nation that the environmental assessment is unsatisfactory, so meaning that there's factions of the U.S. government that are saying this is not satisfactory. We're not going to allow this to happen. The protest, and actually the water protectors, are right there at the Cannonball River and the corner of the Missouri, which means that the whole pipeline is happening just on the other side of the Cannonball River on that treaty land. Okay, so what's interesting here is that the Missouri is right there, is the source where this pipeline is going to go under the river, is the source of water for the Sioux Nation. It's the source of water for not only the Standing Rock Reservation, but all the reservations in the area. That's their main source of water. The thing about pipelines, and that everybody should know, and that we were never told, but you'll find this out pretty quickly as you investigate it, they leak. they always leak. They've always leaked. They've always had problems. They've always had explosions. They've always damaged ecosystems. It's always been covered up. Big oil has covered up oil leaks like a religion in this country. And in fact, they've destroyed so many lives, caused so many diseases in people, like leukemia. And I'm thinking of the Kalamazoo leak with Enbridge, and Enbridge is one of the partners in Dakota Access Pipeline, where they leaked 1 million gallons of oil and then didn't clean it up, tried to cover it up, and destroyed people's lives, destroyed people's property. These are the people, by the way, who are showing up at this protest, because their lives have been destroyed, their property has been destroyed, their ecosystem has been destroyed, their water table has been destroyed, and enough is enough. This is rampant across America. There has been over 3,000 oil leaks just in the last 20 years that I've been looking at. 3,000. I'm talking 28,000 of gasoline, gallons of gasoline into a river, 28,000 gallons of diesel into a lake, blowing up of a pipeline because somebody put their backhoe into it, sparked it, and thing blew up and killed the person. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. It is the craziest thing of all time. It is the dirtiest business in town. It's got to stop. It makes the United States completely susceptible to terrorism. Anybody with their head on straight could easily figure out where 5 pipelines are, plant bombs on them with nobody being able to spot it, nobody would even be aware of it, blow them all up at once, and destroy the entire ecosystem of the Mississippi River Valley and Missouri River Valley of the United States in one day. That's how crazy this is.
And Dave, I'm looking at Transfer Energy Partners' safety record, and they recently had a pipeline explosion that had a fire so intense it melted half of a hill. That was in Cuero, Texas, I believe. So they don't have a perfect safety record whatsoever. In fact, they've recently had a pipeline explosion.
That's right. No, Enbridge has had over 800 pipeline disasters, leaks. 800? This is just that one company. That's one of 4 partners. If you go to Sunoco Logistics, they've had pipeline disasters. It's a regular, it's a common thing in America. It happens every month. In fact, it's happening depending on who you're reading, what you're believing, it's definitely happening every month. Sometimes it's happening every day. Every day. Let me just read you what happened. I'm going to go to the list of just September this year, so September 2016. Because if you think oil pipelines are safe, just listen to this. September 4th, the pipeline broke in Kern County, California, spilling reclaimed water and oil. September 5th, a pipeline in Baylong, Louisiana, was hit by dredging operations, resulting in a spill of about 5,300 gallons of crude oil into the water. On September 9th, a Colonial Pipeline mainline leak was noticed by workers on another project in Shelby County, Alabama. At least 252,000 gallons of gasoline leaked. On September 10th, a Sunoco pipeline ruptured near Sweetwater, Texas. About 33 gallons of crude oil were spilled. The pipeline was just over a year old. On October 11th, and it just goes on. I could go on like this for hours. I've got thousands of leaks that I've been reviewing here in my notes. Thousands. This is the most polluting, destructive thing going on. This actually makes nuclear power look like a joke. So what's happening is that the courts have stopped Dakota Access Pipeline right before they go into the Missouri River. They want to go in 1,500 feet away from one side and come up 1,500 feet on the other side away from the river, but go about only 40 feet from the bottom surface of the river with the pipe. Here's what I found out because I interviewed a pipeline worker, not the Dakota Access Pipeline worker, but a worker from another pipeline company. Listen to what I found out. He told me that 1% leak, meaning a pressure difference of 1%, will not be even accounted for. They won't even look at it, which means that if it's slightly leaking, any pipeline in America, if it's leaking less than 1%, they won't even look at it. It just leaks into the earth, leaks into the ground, leaks into somebody's backyard, leaks into a lake, leaks into a river, and
wow.
They just let it happen. Another guy, my friend John Bolenbaugh, who was a victim of the Kalamazoo disaster involving Enbridge, where 1 million gallons of gasoline or oil, I think it was 1 million gallons of oil in that case, leaked into a river behind his house, 1 million gallons. Then they tried to cover it up. Then they got insurance money and just faked that they cleaned it up. He forced the issue. He ended up costing them $600 million because he showed that they were trying to actually get away with faking the cleanup. According to John Bolenbaugh, who used to also work in the oil industry, by the way, so he's an insider and a whistleblower, it's a 1.5% pressure differential. So that's two different independent sources that have verified to me that a leak in a pipeline, if it's not big enough, won't even be looked at.
That is shocking.
This is shocking stuff. And this is why this issue has finally bubbled over. And this is why it's got to stop. And this is a great place to stop it, because Americans are not aware. And just like we've been doing forever in American history, we're like, oh, just, you know, we don't want to deal with it in Bismarck. Let's send it down to some native land and screw up their land instead of us. Same stuff that's been going on all along. Now, this pipeline is backed by 38 banks and four oil companies, all of whom are trying to remain kind of in the background. You know, we're Energy Transfer Partners. We're Dakota Access LLC. No, you're actually Enbridge, you're Marathon Oil, you're Sunoco Logistics, you're Phillips 66. So, and then the banks that are behind this, and by the way, that list will be put up on my website here. I'm going to actually do a post on this with every detail you could ever want about this case, davidwolf.com/standing-rock will be the URL for that. The banks, listen to this list of banks. These banks have funded $3.75 billion for this project. To give you an idea of how much $1 billion is, because people throw these numbers around, we don't even think about it. A million seconds is 10 days. A billion seconds is 32 years. Just to give you an idea of the numbers. Because people say, oh, he's just a billionaire. Oh, it's just $1 million. Oh, it's $1 billion. We have no idea how big these numbers are. If we took that $3.75 billion and put it into something that was healthy and good for the environment, like wind power, solar power, innovative free energy technologies, hydroelectric, geothermal, something that's not going to create an absolute disaster in some native's backyard and pretty soon your backyard, if not already, then we could really make progress in this world. And that's why we've got to stop the banks from funding this. So you need to take your money out of these banks. Listen to this list. Wells Fargo Bank, Bank of America, Chase Bank, Goldman Sachs, which really should be renamed Gold in Sachs because they're taking your gold out in Sachs. U.S. Bank, Citizens Bank, Comerica Bank, Scotia Bank, Bank of Nova Scotia up here in Canada, TD Bank up here in Canada, Toronto Dominion, HSBC, Royal Bank of Canada, UBS, Compass Bank, Barclays Bank, PNB Paribas, SunTrust, Royal Bank of Scotland. I mean, this list goes on, 38 banks. And by the way, I went through this intensely, and it is 38 banks backing this. And the big one that you should know about is Citibank. Citibank is the one that's the ringleader in all this, and they're the ones who've actually put the books together on all this, so they're keeping track of the cost, and they're the bookkeepers on this project.
And Citibank, by the way, if you look up Citibank on Wikipedia scandal, you'll find a lot of the memos that came out of Citibank that were very damaging on how they're treating their customers and how they're using hidden fees and duplicitous lending methods to make their money.
You know what? We've got to do, Lucian. We have got to get our money out of these banks and get it into credit unions that are not going to put your money up on Wall Street and aren't going to put your money up on oil pipelines that have and will continue to destroy the central valleys of North America for hundreds of years. I mean, that's what's going to happen here. That's already happened. The Kalamazoo, Michigan is completely toxic. And the ecosystem will take, I don't know, hundreds of years, maybe thousands of years to remediate itself from these disasters, because they're not cleaning it up. I mean, come on. How silly is that? They fake cleaning it up. That's what they do. That's what we're dealing with. These banks and these oil companies are run by criminal insanity. These people are the criminally insane. So we have all believed, like, oh, if you're a criminal, you're trying to rob a grandma on the street. No. Most of the worst criminals in the world, as we know, are political leaders. They're running banks. That's what's going on. And they're running the oil companies. And they don't care about you. They don't care about the environment. They want to destroy the environment. I mean, at the highest level, I'm getting that impression. They not only not care about the environment, they want to hurt the environment. They're criminally insane, and they must be stopped. And they matriculate by just by their nature to positions of centralized power where they can perform their crimes without being stopped. I mean, think about it. If you're a serial killer, where do you want to go? You want to go somewhere where you can't be caught, but you can continue your crimes. If you're a bank robber, what do you want to do? You want to keep continuing your crimes without being caught. What's the best way to not be caught? Well, why don't you become the head of an oil company? Why don't you become the head of a bank? Why don't you become the chief of police, right? With the place where no one would look or can't get to you. That's what we're dealing with here. And the track record indicates it, because these people have never come forward and said, you know, we're sorry, you know, too bad. You know, we've spilled, you know, we're Enbridge. We've spilled 800 spills in the last 20 years. You know, we're going to do everything we can now to fix the environment. No, they're faking it, of course. It's upsetting. So let's get back to this. So what's happening is that if there is a leak at the north juncture of that where the Missouri River and the pipeline meet, it will for sure completely contaminate all the water for that tribe and all the Sioux tribes on the Missouri River and at least 18 million people downstream from that position.
All to make some money. I mean, that's the shocking thing, is that this oil is leaving the country and it's making other people rich. It's not even benefiting the people in this country.
Right. I mean, I can tell you one thing for sure. It's not going to benefit any native, that's for sure. It's not going to benefit you or me, that's for darn sure. People are like, oh, no, but they're creating jobs. No, they're not. They create 3,000 jobs over here, 6,000 jobs over there for a few weeks, and then the whole project's done. Then, you ready for this one? The amount of jobs that are created by this $3.75 billion project that are permanent is 40. Jobs, and they're probably lying about that because that's their number.
Wow.
40 jobs. Now, if you can't sense corruption, and if it spills in your backyard, they don't care. They're just going to come and fake that they cleaned it up, and they'll throw stuff over it and throw all different kinds of dispersant chemicals that are carcinogenic all over your land, say they cleaned it up, get paid by the insurance company, and according to my friend John Bolivar, they're making money on that. They're making money on oil spills. Because they've got it so dialed in that, oh, they're the ones, oh, they spilled it, oh, okay, but they're also the ones who clean it up. I mean, right there, if we can't figure out there's a problem, that these people are not only spilling, but they're the ones responsible to clean it up and get paid to clean it up, they should be fined millions or billions of dollars until they're out of business if they spill at all. There can't be a single spill. It's too dangerous. This stuff is dangerous. We're talking about volatile crude oil that could explode. We're talking about diesel fuel. We're talking about gasoline. Can you imagine gasoline leaks in your backyard, 20,000 gallons of gasoline? This has happened. It happens all the time. It happens ever again. It in my opinion, I can prove for sure it's happening monthly in America, but I have other people who say they can prove it's happening weekly.
And also, Dave, there is a strategy that oil companies use, which is to run these pipelines through poor areas so that if something does happen, they don't really have the means to fight back and they don't really have a voice, rather than putting them through Beverly Hills. And if the pipeline leaks there, well, of course, they're going to hear about it.
Exactly. That's why they said, oh, no, to Bismarck. Bismarck doesn't want it. Let's just go to some native's land and we'll just punch it through over there. And the reason why they're coming on this treaty land is because it's controversial. I mean, this is an area of land that was given to the Native Americans, then taken away unilaterally by the U.S. government for no reason. Just let's just rip them off. We're taking it back. And so they're thinking, they're not going to be able to fight us on this. Let's just put it through over there. This is the kind of thinking that goes on with these oil companies, and this is why we're standing up right now, because we're sick of it. I am sick of the pollution that is going into the Missouri River. I grew up on the Missouri River. We used to jump into the Missouri River when I was a kid with life preservers on, float down the river for 2 miles in the middle of the night, and then jump out and walk back up the river and then do it all over again. It was the best ever. We used to go out there and canoe on the tributaries of the Missouri River in the state of Missouri. And, you know, I used to read at the same time Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer. You know, and I was really enamored with the culture of that great river, or the great rivers, Mississippi and Missouri, that are the lifeblood and heart. They are the heart of America. We're so damn dumb. We are so dumb. We have polluted the heart of our country. I can't even comprehend it. It's so bad. It's like, when is this idiocy going to stop?
So, Dave, for people listening right now, what's the best course of action they could take? Social media, fortunately is reporting on this daily. What's the best course of action that people could take right now?
Okay, so the number one thing you can do is you can protest your bank, get your money out of that bank. Wells Fargo, Chase, U.S. Bank, Scotiabank, all those banks I listed, plus there's many more. There's ICBC London, there's DNB Capital, there's ING Bank. Get your money out of those banks. Tell the bank, I'm taking my money out because you support oil pipelines without informing us of what you're doing with our money. Because they're basically taking your money because you have, you know, so let's say you have $10,000 in your account. They know that you're only going to access $2,000 at a time, so they take $8,000 of it and they put it up on Wall Street. So that's number one. Take your money, put it in a credit union. Take your money, turn it into gold and silver that you possess. Take your money and put it into something important like wind power at your house or solar power that's going to get you off their energy game. That's the next step, which is how do we reduce our need for petroleum products? Now, people say, well, you use petroleum products, so you're part of it. Well, we don't have a choice, do we? And the reason why we don't have a choice is because they've made sure we don't have a choice. All you have to do is watch the film Who Killed the Electric Car and how they continuously for years killed the electrical car until the internet made it impossible for them to stop it. These oil companies don't want alternative fuel. They don't want alternative technology for energy production. They want control. That's what they want. So we have to take that control away by saying, okay, I'm going to save my little piggy bank to get a solar system, which is what I did. I finally saved up the money. I had solar panels donated to me, given by friends. I saved up the money, and step by step by step, I finally had enough money, boom, got the solar on the house. Now we're off of their oil war. Same is true with your vehicle. Like get a hybrid car, get an electrical car. If you've got solar on the roof and you've got an electrical car, you're off of their oil war. It's over. And so we have to do that step by step. And then we have to do everything we can with social media to encourage hemp plastics, hemp fuels, biofuels, biodiesel. So if we keep putting money in their pocket by giving these banks their money and buying their products, then the next thing you know, we're going to have more and more suppression of alternative fuels and alternative energy systems, which we have.
In the video last night, I saw that the weather there was pretty intense. What's the sense on the ground there now with the weather and the winter coming?
The resolve is there. Those people are going to stay. They're not getting them out of there. First of all, the native people have been there forever. They're not troubled by any winter. They don't care. But there's Polynesian people there. First time they've ever been through a Dakota winter. So they're having a tough time. There's people there from South America, Brazilian Native Americans. They're having a little bit of a rough time. So one of the things you can do, and this is the next thing about giving, is you can send up to the tribe or have delivered by friends, or find someone who's going up there and send up X-large, XX-large, and XXX-large winter clothes for these Polynesian people. These people are big, like the Maori people, Samoans, Tonga. They're big feet, big arms, big legs, and they need winter clothes that are the correct size for them. That's one way you can help. You can also send food. You should go up there. I've got friends coming from Florida. Everybody's converging there because we've got a chance to get the word out there about pipelines on this issue, and we've got a chance to tell the oil companies and the banks it's over. Their days are numbered. We're not going to take it anymore. We're not going to take the pollution of our country anymore so they can ship the oil out, make all the money, and then rip us off and then lie about cleaning it up when they spill.
So we're going to be getting updates from you. Do you have plans on going back there this week?
I will not be back there this week. I don't know when I'm going to get back there. We are thinking about actually doing another fruit tree planting foundation project at Standing Rock. We did do one a number of years ago. So we're thinking in the spring, if this is still going on, we'll go back there where all the it's the Ossetti Sakawi, I think is how it's pronounced. It's O-C-E-T-I. S-A-K-O-W-I-N, camp. That's the camp that the governor keeps saying, get off that land. That's the camp that the Army Corps of Engineers says, get off that land. By the way, I looked into the legalities of them being able to force anybody off that land. There is no precedent. There's no way they're going to be able to force anybody off that land because they have no claim to that land. The U.S. government has absolutely no claim to the land where the people are camped out right now, where we were camped out when we were there. So we're probably going to do a fruit tree planting foundation planting there. So I'll be back with that in the spring at the latest. Maybe I'll be there in the middle of the winter. We were in there. We came in there during the worst blizzards that they've had in that area in 6 years. It was the most outrageous driving conditions, most difficult situation I've ever been in while driving ever in my life. It was crazy.
And people can find that video on davidwolf.com. Check it out.
Yeah, check that video out, and we're going to be doing more. Now, I filmed a lot of footage and was given the rights to incredible footage by my friend Rod Weber, who was right there at the front lines where these cops are shooting people with rubber bullets. They're firing tear gas cannons. They're spraying people with mace who are praying, like, just for no reason. They're just spraying people with mace, and it's awful. These police and whoever these people are, these people are also mentally ill. It's like, this isn't target practice. These are human beings. We've got close-up footage of a police officer firing rubber bullets at point-blank range at women. We're going to be putting that footage up. It's unbelievable. It's sick. America's a sick place. We know that. But, you know, when you really see this, you're like, oh, this is sick. These people are ill. What is this? They're just, they're praying. They're you know, presence is on their own land. It's not like they're invading the pipeline and trying to break it, you know, with axes or something. And there's the Army Corps of Engineers has put across razor wire to keep everybody out. You're not getting through that razor wire. Doesn't matter. They're shooting people anyway on the other side of that razor wire just for fun. It's actually no good reason. It's not like, you know, oh, let's shoot people and then move the line forward and then shoot more people and then move the line forward. No, they're just doing it for target practice.
And you can see some of that footage in the video you posted last night. You can see some of that footage of them spraying them, shooting them. We have it on video now.
That's right. That's right. We have that video, and we're going to be doing more with that video because we have actually more footage than what I've shown, you know, there in that video. It is unbelievable. Now, I'm going to say some other things. If you want to help, there's many ways you can help. You can go up there and just winterize, get an RV. If you have an RV, skip your ski trip. Go to Standing Rock instead. You can go up there with supplies and bring wood. Wood is very valuable. Propane is very valuable just because there's a lot of propane systems there. And I'm really glad that Ace Hardware, which the police heavily pressured Ace Hardware to stop selling propane. Our Ace Hardware said, no, we're going to sell propane, get out of our hair. So, and they're in support of Standing Rock. How about that?
Good for them.
And if you, let's just say you have a lot of money, you want to send money up there. I've got a great nonprofit that is up there that is a tax deductible donation to send the money up there. It's Red Lightning at Standing Rock. You can send it via PayPal. So you can send your payment to registration@redlightning.org. Registration@redlightning.org is the PayPal. Send a dollar, send $10. I got people who are sending tens of thousands of dollars. There's been hundreds of thousands of dollars raised on this already because people who know how toxic the oil pipelines are know that this is a chance where we can finally get our foot in the door and start pushing it backwards. And Alicia, I think this is going to happen. I think this is the time when people finally wake up and go, oh, these oil companies not only they're destroying the environment where they're doing the oil extraction. By the way, they're going to extract all the oil out of the Bakken fields, then frack it before they're done. So it's not just oil extraction. They're going to frack it, and that means all the disposal wells will be right there in that northwest region and contaminate groundwater there permanently. Just so we all know what fracking is, they're using hydraulic fracturing with chemicals to crack the earth, release gases and oil, and then they take that and they ship that out as part of their oil extraction products down these pipelines. And the fracking byproducts are put into what are called disposal wells. Disposal wells have contaminated the Midwest of the United States almost to the point of being irreparable. Same with Pennsylvania. It is awful, and fracking has to stop. And don't fool yourself. This isn't just an oil pipeline. This is a fracking pipeline. So they can fit all the fracking byproducts down there or the fracking products down there and fit all the waste byproducts back into the earth or put it into the earth and ruin the groundwater forever.
So if the oil pipeline doesn't leak and destroy the Missouri River, then surely the fracking is going to contaminate permanently the groundwater in that state for thousands of years.
Yes, absolutely. It's already done it. They've already fracked Texas to death. They've fracked California. They've fracked Oklahoma. Oklahoma actually just passed a law last month that said no more disposal wells. Now, Oklahoma is one of the most difficult states to actually get any conscious anything going on at all. And they're so freaked out by the danger of disposal wells that they actually banned them in Oklahoma.
Wow. And the nice thing about this, Dave, is any type of research you do on this, it produces so many results. Just in this interview with you, in this short time, I've just come across countless articles about the dangers of pipelines, about the truth about these companies. Just maybe 20 minutes of research will blow your mind.
In my mind, you know, with the political situation that has gone down, you know, the whole presidential election, whatever, I think actually Donald Trump will listen to reason on this if somebody came at him with the facts. I didn't have the facts. I didn't know. 3 years ago, I had no idea about any of this. But over time, with the fracking, I started going, I better start looking into this fracking. This fracking is gnarly. Then I started looking into the pipelines, and then the companies were behind it. And it's just a complete disaster at every level. It does not create economic security for America. It does not create environmental security for America. It is absolutely a ripoff. We're being ripped off by international banks and the criminally insane who are running these companies. Again, I'm just going to say this, it's a very important concept. The criminally insane matriculate to, are attracted to, crave centralized power. They want the position as being the head of the oil company. They want to be the person running the bank. They want to be the leader of the country, right? We know this. This is why if you look at the history of humankind, you see all these maniacs are actually the leaders of the country because the criminally insane crave it. It's an addiction. They have to be in control of everybody because they're control freaks. We have to stop this. We have to understand this and trap these people, by the way, so that when they go for power, we're there laying in wait, observing, going, oh, well, this person's actually criminally insane. Then we get their track record and criminal record out. Then we actually put them on trial for crimes against humanity and crimes against the earth. And the crimes against humanity and crimes against the earth that these people have already accomplished in the 20th century and the 21st century is, I'm telling you, Lucian, it's beyond my imagination. I couldn't even believe it.
I think we'll be lucky to recover from the damage that's already happened. If we stopped all damage today, I think we'd still have a tough time recovering.
I agree. I agree with that. But there's only one thing we could do. It's like we have to fight on. And so that is the resolve of everybody at Standing Rock. It's like everybody at Standing Rock knows all this. They are aware. They know that this problem is just going to be replicated somewhere else. If we don't stop it somewhere else, it's going to be replicated somewhere else. So we have to stop it somewhere. You know, as Harry S. Truman said, the buck stops here. We can't keep passing the buck on. Here's another thing I want to mention about these pipelines is that I had an interview with an anonymous pipeline worker. Remember I said that? This guy told me something very interesting. He said that these pipelines are built, the banks are paid out, and then the oil companies use them and then sell off the bank's interests to other people down the line. So it ends up becoming owned by three or four different companies in as little as 3 or 4 years, which means it's changing hands rapidly because it's an asset in a portfolio. So, you know, people hold on to it for a couple of years and sell off to someone else, and they'll hold on to it for a few years and then sell off to someone else. So the responsibility is passed along to people who have no idea even what they're involved in. You see, like, as soon as you start Googling around on oil pipeline accidents, you see what comes up? You see how crazy that is?
I can't believe it's hidden so well. They've done a good job probably paying off news outlets to not report it because on some level,
right,
I'm sure they're paying for advertising for a lot of these media outlets, so they're highly discouraging any reporting of it.
Okay, let's talk about that for a second. We do need to mention that. Let's talk about that.
All right.
The reason why we don't hear about oil pipeline disasters the way we should in mainstream media, the reason why CNN, ABC, NBC don't report the Standing Rock protectors on television is because the people who own CNN and ABC and NBC and CBS and Fox News and all the big boys are the people who own the pipelines and own big agriculture and own the pharmaceutical companies. So they don't want to give themselves bad press. I heard, Lucian, one of the most astonishing reports from CNN online, not on television. They're not going to tell you on television because they don't want like normal people to see any of this. It was the most astonishing report I've ever heard from major news service ever. This woman gets on there and apologizes profusely that they have not been reporting this on television and reporting this the way that they should. She doesn't say why. She just apologizes that they're not doing what they should be doing. Then people are saying, well, how can we donate? How can we help? And she says, oh, just you can find online. Just go to the camp, Sekui camp. Well, no one knows how that's spelled. And she knows that. And you can hear it in the way she's saying it.
Wow.
So she's got her masters right on her saying, you don't say anything right here. You can't say this. You can't say that. You can't say this. And you can't say that. And that was so clear. I was like, geez, this is pathetic. This is just pathetic. So that's why people are fleeing mainstream news. In fact, if it wasn't for television, mainstream news would be just gone. Or if we had access, like our independent news, like you and me, had access to television, mainstream news would be obliterated because they just lie, cover up, and distort the truth and give you a fake story. They always have. Now we're finding out. Again, all you have to do is get online and start punching around on oil pipeline disasters, just that one thing, and you can't even believe the history of this stuff just in America. It's shocking.
And the lack of reporting is shocking. I never go to mainstream media for my news, but I will go there to compare what they're not putting up. So if you watch like CNN the last week, they have done nothing on this story. It's all about these ridiculous little micro changes in the political atmosphere that nobody really cares about. They don't really have any meaning, but yet they're reporting it as it's like the biggest news in the world right now. And they're ignoring completely stories like this.
This is the first time in American history where every native tribe in North America has come together to back a cause, ever. Not reported on television, not mentioned. Think about that.
I mean, that's a huge story.
That's a huge story. And it's not only natives from North America. Again, it's natives from Polynesia. There's natives from South America, Central America, Canada. They're all there. First Nations, all together, allied for a cause, which is to stop the destruction of the waterways of North America. This is so crazy what we're dealing with, that water is life has become the slogan, because we actually have to get to that level of a meme. Like, hey, water is life. You screw up water, we're all dead or dying. In order for this to punch through the complete media blackout and just the sheer ignorance of the human race, so that we can get the point across. You know, changing it from protesters to water protectors was a really good move, and that's what it will be from now on. We are water protectors. I'm never a protester ever again. I'm a water protector, always have been my whole life. And if we can't get together to protect water, then we're done for anyway. So we might as well start here.
Right, right. So this is a blessing. And I think a lot of people feel the same way, that this incident has been a great blessing because it's shining a light on the rats, as it were.
It was inevitable that it would happen. And I'm so glad it's happening with the Native Americans involved, because they've gotten the short end of the deal all these years. Everybody loves the Native Americans all around the world. You go to Germany, and by the way, these are Native Americans at Standing Rock that are living in teepees, for real, in the snow, in the elements. It was unbelievable what was going on there. The two main types of outdoor arrangements are teepees and yurts donated by the nation of Mongolia. Not donated by the United States, of course. Not donated by Canada, or not donated by Mexico, but Mongolia said, we'll help. We're sending yurts over.
What a testimony to our indifference.
It's incredible. When I show these images online, which I'm about to do today, of the teepees in the snow, and the Europeans get to see this because they love Native Americans in Germany. They love Native Americans in Scandinavia. They love Native Americans in Holland. And especially the Sioux Nation, the Lakota, because of these are the Plains Indians, you know, who had the teepees and the buffalo. And remember that whole thing was that's these guys. They're going to freak out. They are going to freak out. They're going to be going, what in the heck is going on in America? And the international pressure will start. And we're going to keep the international pressure on this issue forever. This has got to stop. We got all the Native Americans now all on one side, allied for the cause, and it's on.
So keep updated, davidwolf.com. Also, check out David Avocado Wolf on Facebook. Definitely, that's a great source for getting up-to-date information, breakthroughs, any news that's happening. It's going to be on David Wolf's Facebook page, and it's going to be on davidwolf.com.
I want to take one last moment to thank all the veterans. Over 2,000 veterans showed up at Standing Rock when we were there, just ready to take action. Apparently, yesterday, they went up to the front lines, went right up to the police, cut all the razor wire out of there that the police had erected, got rid of it, and took all the canoes that the police had stolen from the Native Americans and brought it back. How about that?
That's awesome. That's just an awesome story.
Awesome. It's just awesome. The police didn't do a damn thing because the police, unlike the military, are not sworn to protect the people. I mean, if you sign in the U.S. military, you were sworn to protect the U.S. people. And that's why those veterans are showing up. They're like, we're going to protect you because no one else will. And so they showed up there, thousands of them. It's incredible.
Awesome, awesome. All right, this is your host, Lucian Gauthier. This has been a special report with David Avocado Wolf, and we're signing off wishing you the best day ever.